to be honest with y'all, this year's team is better than last year's team, I believe. But ball's got to bounce your way in the postseason. It didn't. It's tough, and we'll learn from it. And everyone in here will have a little bit of an edge to play with next year, a little bit of a chip on our shoulder, knowing that we believe we should have been back-to-back champions. We were banged up a bit. Lance McCullers is pitching with I don't even know if I'm supposed to say what he's pitching with, but the guy has some heart. Altuve's right knee is the size of a grapefruit, and he's out there putting together good at-bats. A lot of really good character guys in this clubhouse that will put it on the line for our team, and definitely proud of everybody in here.
I'm curious what you guys think of those quotes by the best player on the Astros this season, Alex Bregman. I'm wondering, I mean, obviously, you know, Lance joins the show every single week. If Lance has some kind of, you know, elbow issue going on during the postseason, late in the regular season, why is he out there? That's not even a defense of Lance. It's, to me, like, you have to, now, listen, this is all hindsight, 2020 hindsight of this. Lance looked great on Saturday in game one. He came in, he just dominated, and then things got worse for him during the course of the series. But, and I understand guys need to play through pain during the playoffs, like Altuve, obviously, I get that. But when it comes to, like, relievers, where it's a question, will this guy come back or not? If a guy's pitching through some kind of tear in his elbow, I'm wondering, like, okay, even though he's been a proven clutch performer, you have other options there. And when I hear that, it makes me wonder, why was he out there to begin with?
Well, I guess the question just becomes, was he okay and then was he not? Like, did he get injured in that last appearance? That it might be as simple as that.
It didn't sound like it based on the way they were talking, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
The way
I took it is that he, you know, been going through it for a while, but apparently he's been going through practices and been doing work and he's been able to perform.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's a bottom line business. And if this guy is out there giving you good innings, then you're going to put him out there and he's going to play through the injury. And so I think that's what you had. I thought McCullers, he came in a situation where it was the bases loaded and he's a guy that, you know, he kind of struggles with his control. And so what happened wasn't surprising, but at the same time, he got him out of the inning. It wasn't a huge, it wasn't like he fell off the cliff when he was out there. And so who would you put there in his place? You know, that's the question, because a lot of times the guys that were getting put in there weren't doing great anyway. So I don't have anything against him playing through injury. I think that's just part of being an athlete and part of sports.
Right. And I think I don't know what Bregman was doing right there, other than that. The way he phrased it made it sound, I think, potentially worse than what it actually was. Like, I think maybe McCullers is working through what he's working through. He's got his injury that people know about. Maybe there's an extra injury that we don't know about, and what he was talking about. But, like, the guys go out and pitch, you know, through seasons and postseasons with injuries.
Lance talked to Mark Berman of Fox 26 after the game, and he was basically like, I mean, the end of the sound clip, Chris, I would like to find this if possible. I want to play the Lance sound at some point this hour. It's on Mark's Twitter account. He was basically like talking about how he's thankful for the fans and everything. We got it. Here we go. Let's listen to Lance McCullers after game five last night.
I would tell him we love you to death. We appreciate the support you have given us. For those who have given us this organization support for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 to 50, 60 years. Thank you for people who have jumped on in the last couple. Thank you as well. You guys make it fun for us to come to the park, to live in this city. I think you would be stressed to find another team, unless, you know, it's in New York or in LA, that makes that city they play in their home as much as the Houston Astros do. This is my home. I truly enjoy being an Astro. I truly enjoy being a pitcher for you guys. I'm gonna miss pitching for the time I'm not, and we didn't get it done this year, but we hope you enjoyed last year, and the goal isn't changed moving forward.
I mean, those are pretty,
for the time that I'm not.
That's a pretty strong indication that something's
cryptic,
wrong.
Very, very cryptic.
How long does UCL repair take?
It would be a year. Yeah.
I wonder, I'm not trying to have any level of conjecture there or anything. I'm just openly asking and wondering, okay, if he's talking about the time that he's going to be gone, That's not typical off-season talk.
Yes.
He's not saying, like, yeah, I'm going to miss baseball during the off-season. That's, that sounds like there's something more
serious. What's the likelihood that it was off-season talk?
I don't think very. Based on that, unless he chose his words poorly or something, I'd say very low.
Like, that sounds exactly like a guy who's going to miss games.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like, no question.
It sounded like he was going on like a 2-year trip around the world.
Yeah,
like
I know.
Like he was taking a hiatus.
Yeah,
or something.
Like he was going to be gone for a while. Like he wasn't going to be with the organization anymore. Almost. Like,
is there a chance
they might
Lance,
not bring him back because he's injured?
Is there a chance he got arrested and he's going to do 5 to 7 in the pen?
That's what
it sounded like. It sounded almost. Obviously that's not what happened. Gosh, yeah, now I'm really concerned. I'm glad you brought that clip. Oh,
yeah,
man, I feel really bad for Lance if that's the case.
And then moving forward, they're already going to likely lose Dallas Keuchel, and if you don't have Lance for some portion of next season, that leaves 2 rotation holes to fill, plus Charlie Morton's a free agent as well, so you make it 3, and all of a sudden, like, you're in a situation where they have some options internally with Forrest Whitley, with Colin McHugh, with Peacock maybe, but that's going to be probably the dominant storyline in the offseason. Now, one thing I do want to get back to real quick is I think Paul had the strongest opinion of the day on the loss last night, which is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you feel like some of the reaction in the city has been a little bit too muted about the loss.
And I think it's because everyone likes this team here so much. I mean, of all the teams in town, and someone took issue with this earlier, but they're easily the most likable. They're more likable than the Rockets. The Rockets organizationally are not as likable. The team itself, honestly, and what they were able to do last year, I give them a lot of credit, and I think they have become more likable. The organization, though.
Well, that doesn't even have to be an insult. Like, as far as, like the Astros are kind of next-level likability compared to other sports, even other good teams. It's not a slight against anybody.
When's the last time we've been critical of the Astros? It's been a while, and this is a situation.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I mean, I think this season we were extremely patient with them through some of the downtimes. And look, the patience paid off. I mean, they were able to get 103 wins. They win the American League West. They're the second best team in the American League and vicariously in baseball. But at the same time, this series, they disappointed. I mean, they couldn't score runs at home. They struggled. And I know that there are some injuries. I'm not dismissing them. Jose Altuve banged up. He's got the grapefruit-sized knee. Lance McCullers banged up. Charlie Morton banged up. And Carlos Correa banged up. But Altuve and Correa hit for you. The rest of the lineup did not. And you look at Boston, I mean, J.D. Martinez, until this last game, really wasn't that much of an impactful player. Mookie Betts was more of an impactful player in the field, and he was great in the field. But as a hitter, what did he really do to you? And the guys that the Red Sox have seen struggle for a lot of this season, some of their bullpen arms, and in particular David Price, beat you. So it's really disappointing to me. And I know that this is a good Boston team, but I think some people are just sitting back and saying, well, Boston was the better team. I disagree with that. These were 2 teams on a level playing field, and this should have gone at least 7 games, but it went 5, and I felt like the Astros weren't as competitive as they could have been.
One of our listeners, Chris Langdon, pulled the old, if it was Philly or NYC, Hinch would be getting blasted for terrible roster moves like Osuna and Maldonado. Okay, that's Hinch now, apparently. In-game decisions, White and Riznik, and a lack of fire. And he says, let's analyze Joe West instead
lack of
kicking
of fire.
Instead of kicking dirt on him, a la Earl Weaver. Okay, well, as far as the lack of fire, it doesn't happen anymore. Like, if you want, when was the last time? You just can't do it. Like, you're not going to see, you don't see managers out there kicking dirt on umpires, okay? As far as Osuna and Maldonado, well, look, those aren't roster decisions that A.J. Hinch is making. Those are roster decisions that Jeff Luhnow is making, and A.J. Hinch is going to do it. Are you upset? What would be the issue with Osuna? Osuna pitched like crap. That's the problem with Osuna.
Yes.
It's not that, are you going to blame A.J. Hinch that a closer couldn't come in at a one-run deficit in a non-ninth inning situation and not load the bases? Like, that's Hinch's fault all of a sudden?
A lot of the issue with some of those markets, and I grew up listening to New York City sports radio, but some of the criticism is, like, overboard. Like, some of those guys are, I'm not saying people, but some of the takes are just blowhard takes. We all know that.
And plus, I don't care what they're going to do in Philadelphia or New York City or Boston. Like, I don't care. I don't understand when somebody comes to you like, well, you know, in Philadelphia, this is how they handle it. Like, good for them. Like, I don't feel like, is this, do we want Philadelphia? This is what we need to do. We need to buy a station in Philadelphia that can talk about the Astros for us. Okay? I'm going to go in on it. I'll sell stock and everything. We'll have Houston Sports in Philly so we can hear what they talk about, what they would say about the Astros in those situations.
I think the main issue with Hinch would be the move to put Bregman in the leadoff spot, which did not pan out. But then again, listen, if the ball drops the other night, the only reason why Bregman's hitting in that spot is because he is in the leadoff spot. Benintendi makes the catch. If he doesn't make the catch, they win game four. And I think there's a damn good chance they win the series from that point. And also, AJ is not making these decisions like in a vacuum. He's not Bill O'Brien. This is an organizational thing. Like all those analytics guys, the front office, the GM, they are heavily involved in everything going on, including what happens during the middle of these games.
I think part of the reason why Astro fans aren't really being that hard on the Astros, if you looked at the games, there was a bunch of times where guys were hitting line drive shots where Boston was just making plays. And so that's when you come into the old adage, that's baseball. Like sometimes you'll hit the ball very well and it just goes right into a defender player. So you can't do anything about it. They can't be mad at the guys. It's not like it's not like they were just having really terrible at bats. They were getting good contact on the ball. The ball just wasn't going their way.
And that's certainly fair. I felt they could have worked the pitch count up on some of the guys that they went up against, in particular Nathan Eovaldi, and they weren't as patient as I remember them being. I don't know if they were pressing. I don't know what it was.
I think the fact that they were behind, and I think that it was an elimination game, I think that plays
could
into
have factored,
it.
Yeah.
You figure to yourself, like, man, if I don't make a play, if I don't make this happen, then we're going to lose. And so that's when people start pressing.
No, you're right. Five hits in a closeout game. And there were some close calls. I mean, the ballpark for the Astros was a little bit wacky. I mean, you had that Tony Kemp that hit that he had towards the very end of it. I mean, if it goes a little bit to the left, okay. What's happening there? Is it a double? Is it a home run? And then that Josh, let's talk about that Josh Reddick hit for a second. TBS broadcaster,
oh my gosh.
Kiss my ass.
They made
for
it look like
us.
It was like an upper deck home run. I thought that was like a 500-foot home run.
Reddick looked like he crushed a ball, and the TBS camera guy, he zoomed in essentially on the top deck, and I stood up and was like, yeah!
I did, I know. I yelled too. I woke up my daughter. It was like, what the hell is going on here? I was so angry. Hey, thanks for just ruining my daughter's day of school today, you bastards.
I only saw it on Twitter because I was at the game last night.
You knew it wasn't an upper deck.
I knew because once I see any ball hit, I'm obviously looking at
the outfielder.
Right. Yeah, but I will echo
what
you guys
can't do when the camera guy has got the camera trained.
It was on the
home.
It was on the stands.